Yeah, you got to play the game.
Yeah.
Now, you know, back then, like I said, I posted everything on a whim, and I rode my consistency. Mm. You know, I've posted a chapter every Tuesday and Thursday for 3.5 years. I've never missed once.
Yeah.
Okay, I missed the Thursday once because my power was out and I wasn't able to get a chapter up to like 2 a.m. So technically that was Friday.
This is the Crit RPG Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything Lit RPG, Progression Fantasy, and Royal Road.
Okay. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Crit RPG Podcast, the only podcast where we interview someone called Sunrise at Sunrise. With me today is Sunrise CV, author of System Change. How are you doing?
I'm not bad, man. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Thanks for asking. Yeah, so before the show started, you know, in the bonus material, wink, 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 we talked a bit about your inspirations and also, well, I already know what your favorite book of all time is, and we can talk about that later, but we came to the point where I wanted to ask you, which was like a great segue, why did you start System Change and how did that book come to be?
I started it 3.5 years ago almost, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I had a heart attack a couple years, or like the year before I started writing it. And it just kind of like put me up for a while. And I just started reading and reading and reading and reading. And then I found Rural Road. Then I started reading Azerinth Healer, Randidly Ghost Town, Defiance of the Fallen. I was like, you know, I had written the opening 10,000 words to like 5 different stories. And then I was like, you know, I have those on my computer. I went and pulled them up and they were awful. And then I also had System Change on there and it was awful. So, but I was like, this might actually work on Rural Road. After, of course, you know, learning to write a little bit. So I changed it up a bit, put it on Rural Road, and like, damn, you know, it worked.
Nice. Yeah. You are very much unlike me, because I didn't look at what Rural Road did. It was like, oh, cool, I can post my story here. I'll just do that. how did you decide on, well, was it just like, oh, this will fit on Rural Road? Or how did you decide on a story that you actually stuck with?
Well, yeah, it was literally the only thing I had experimented with writing that had any type of a lit RPG feel.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And, you know, like I wasn't going to go to Rural Road and post like a crime thriller. So just imagine the flop.
Yeah, that would be absurd. Why who would write a thriller on Rural Road? Yeah, that such a flop, yeah. No. No, no, no.
Like
a crime thriller.
Yeah. Today, like this world, crime thriller. You hit somebody with a bus and put him in another world crime thriller, then you got magic.
Hey, that could be a cool book. You know, like a lit RPG police procedural. Right?
Yeah.
So you start like... You get like... you get experience by doing the things that you're supposed to do in your job, and the main protagonist gets assigned detective or whatever, and by solving crimes he levels up. That could be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a heck of a modern lit RPG take.
Yeah,
I'd read it because I love those modern stories, like especially lit RPG ones like Level Up or Self, or biomechanical self-engineering, those novels, if you want deep cuts.
I have never heard about that. What's that called? Biomechanical self-engineering?
Yeah. It's about this, like, 65, 70-year-old dude gets bit by an alien and it gives him a system.
And he's alien man. No, wait, what?
Yeah, he gets sent on, like, missions to collect DNA from people, so he becomes a Walmart greeter. So he can shake everyone's hands. That's amazing.
Oh, that sounds good. Oh my god. Oh wow, it's pretty well done. That's an urban fantasy.
Yep.
Huh. It's a well-selling urban fantasy book.
And lit RPG. Or game lit, I guess.
Yeah. Huh. Wow. Okay. That's like that's super interesting. I didn't think those existed.
Yeah. I love those modern ones. That was another one that I was working on too, a racing one about, you know, a driver getting a system and, you know, F1 and stuff, but
yes.
Kind of some issues there with like car companies and stuff. I don't know if Ferrari would want me to crash their car like every other chapter.
Have you read Zero Car?
Yes. Yep.
Because that's
I only read the first one so far, but the others are in my wish list or to be read list or on my shelf. Yeah, with thousands of other books.
I really think we should sabotage every other author because there's just too much stuff to read. Not because I want to sell my book, like fuck that, but because I just can't keep up.
Oh, I would never get anything done if I read like I used to.
Oh yeah. So many people who are on here have this issue where reading feels like a job to them, and so they can't read for relaxation at night or in the evening. Are you like that too?
No, because I keep it separate because, you know, the audio, you know, I don't really count it. But actually, if I were to read with my eyes, maybe it could. It's I do read a lot of like webtoons and stuff like that still.
Yeah. Have you seen the Promenade Hunter one?
I have. It's different.
Yeah. Okay, I knew you were going to say that. I haven't gotten around to reading Primal Hunter yet. I know. Please don't shoot me. But I personally liked it for what it was. It was really well done, right?
Oh, yeah, so it's good. It's just, you know, huge Primal Hunter fan.
Yeah.
Don't tell Zilgarth I said that. But
I think he might actually be listening, so we'll see.
It's actually my dad, he's a truck driver, and he listens to audiobooks just all the time.
To your ship?
Yeah, but he did once tell me that Primal Hunter was his favorite lit RPG.
Oh, how to find out you've been disowned without having found out you've been disowned.
The stake in my heart.
to quote the emotional damage. You started writing when? So Primal Hunter was out, The Ghost Hunt was out, Azeroth Healer was out, so that was like 3 years ago?
Primal Hunter wasn't out yet. I started like the month before Primal Hunter.
Oh, in the ancient times.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. I remember back when it was trending instead of Rising Stars.
Everyone says that. Like it's some sort of like boomer medal they can put on their lapel.
I went in with like zero prep, zero plans, nothing. And I just started posting two chapters a week. just mm-hmm. every week. That's what I still do because mm-hmm. I can write three. The fourth one makes me want to roll over and die if I write four in a week.
How long are your chapters?
When I started, they were only like 1,500 words. So they were short little... I mean, now I don't stop until I'm at least 2,000 words in. Cool. So they usually hover between 2,000 and 3,000 words. Mm-hmm. But you... go ahead.
Do you never find yourself getting into the zone and kind of like chunking out like 4,000 or 5,000 word chapters?
Not as much as I used to because I'm like 700,000 words in. So I find myself having to go fact check a lot to make sure. And that just kind of throws me out, you know, like 1,000 words and I write something and I'm like, but did he say that? You know, like does he know this?
Yeah. Have you, I mean, yeah. So, this is again, like the part where I talk about Torchbearer real quick. You know, because I have like three different timelines going on, they're not at the same time, like I'm not suicidal, but, you know, have like the pre-Isekai past, then the Isekai past, and then the current times, and also like different strands of of people talking in flashbacks. I get you. I really do. And I'm not 700,000 words in, so I might actually reconsider. Like, one thing that helped me there was like summarizing my own chapters and then kind of like making notes of what, like the big things that happened there.
Yeah. The other thing is I'm like 3/4 of a pantser and then 1/4 maybe of an outliner. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I do spend some time on a chapter before I write it, then I'll already have everything that I need to know. And what I'm writing is already like checked, and I'll knock out 2,000-3,000 words in a couple hours. Mm-hmm. But when I'm just pantsing my way through things, I get hit with roadblocks.
Like I very much feel that, because so I also have this issue where if I just pants, I end up with 30,000 word chapters that are just one fight scene.
I can't write a fight scene to save my life.
You can't write a fight scene to save your life?
No, I need to take Zogarth's like lesson in fight scenes or something.
Pray at the shrine.
I can write like 4 chapters of my main character talking about tea or coffee. But you give me a fight scene and I'm like, all right, this one chapter's better do it. I think the longest fight scene is like 3 chapters that I've written.
I kind of love it. There's this YouTube episode. I'll try and link it. Where he talks about why fight scenes are interesting or how they are interesting. And it's basically all about changing things up and making things different, while at the same time also showing creative uses for the environment that they're in. Right. Yeah. So, which is why this, the first big fight scene of Kill Bill is interesting, because they're fighting in a normal, regular household kitchen. And suddenly you're looking at something that's supposed to be very homely as like lots of things that could potentially kill you, right? So
that another reason is because my main character is super overpowered. So you know, that's another trying to draw 3 or 4 chapters out of a super overpowered main character fight when he can literally just go in there and one punch man something.
How do you square that circle? How do you make what would your fans say? How do you keep the story with an OP main character interesting?
I think you got to focus more on the everyday, the slice of life, the world building, and stuff like that, because they know he's not going to be in a huge fight for his life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you make him, what I did is he cares about protecting, you know, those that he's become close with. Mm-hmm. So I focus more on that, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's already strong, but he's got to get strong enough that nobody, you know, will go after him.
And we're not at that point yet.
Not yet.
So, yeah. I mean, like, the escalating nature of enemies is very, you know, important. I always found it, I mean, like, I haven't gotten into your book as far yet as I would like. But I always found it very, a bit sad if it's just, oh no, another big bad that I haven't even heard about before, you know?
Yeah.
How do you get around that?
I don't have many big bads right now.
Okay.
Like I said, I focus on the everyday. Mm-hmm. One day, next day, you know, bunny cooking. You know, I try to keep things a lot more lighthearted. Mm-hmm. And then there's always, I mean, there is one big bad. You can't see me. I put my hands in quotes. But, mm-hmm. You know, it's been kind of hovering there since book one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So right now there has only been like really one like mainstay, mm-hmm. you know, thing mm-hmm. that people, you know, the readers are, I can't wait to see what happens with this. Yeah.
Mm. One series that did this really, really well is Person of Interest. I don't know if you've seen that.
The TV show.
Yep.
I've watched, I think, one season.
The first season is terrible. The other ones after that are amazing.
I said, but that's why I only watched one.
Yeah, but do give 2, 3, and 4 a try, because they're really, really good. Like the first season is like this weird police procedural where they're like, and one of the actors isn't all that great, and I'm like, okay, cool, mm-hmm, yeah, sure, and then it just gets progressively better and better and better, and one thing they do extremely well is they throw out random information in any of the episodes, and then they connect them to like a larger picture that they tell you you could have seen coming, but you really couldn't, because I don't think they saw it coming either. Just like put out hooks, and we're like, yeah, cool, but we can do something with this later, and then they all like tie it together. The Blacklist also did this really well in the first 3 seasons. After that, it was just like, oh, we need another big thing because we need to get the story going.
You remember that animated episode of The Blacklist?
Oh, the one where COVID happened?
Yeah.
That was like, it wasn't bad that it was animated, because okay,
it was
obviously
just
they
weird.
It was weird. It was very Uncanny Valley. They had to do something. Okay. Yeah, right. Sure. I get it. But the ending was so weird, because it was like this complete sharp left turn into like a completely different, like, why? Like, it's one of those things where you don't understand the correct character's motivations at all, because they don't make any sense. And then suddenly they go against everything they seem to have stood for before, and if they just talked, it would be fine, right? Yeah, I hate those. Ah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you see that really often these days. Mm. I guess all days, like, it's just kind of, you know, when a TV show jumps the shark, so to speak.
Jumps the shark, yeah. Yeah. Which is a shame, because Blacklist was really, really good. Like, really, really good. And I do think the ending of the 5th season, where the Blacklist arc basically ends, was also very well done, but it came like two seasons too late. So,
yeah, I really love those like first 3 seasons.
Yeah, they're really good. James Spader, like, he doesn't knock it out of the park. He just pulls the park away. Man, like, it's so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I loved him in, like, Boston Legal and all those things.
Well, I liked him in Stargate.
Ooh. Never watched Stargate.
The old one. Like, the not the show, but, like, the movie. He plays the archaeologist. But okay. Actually, while we're talking about crafty stuff, what's the best advice you've ever gotten as a writer or have as a writer?
I've ever gotten, I kept my head buried in the sand on Rural Road. I didn't meet another author until I signed with Aethon. Like, never once talked to another author.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I never actually got any advice from anyone. I got a lot of mean comments. So one did, I come from more of a technical writing background.
Mm-hmm.
So I never used contractions, not in dialogue, not in anything, because like I was just, you can never use contractions. That's how I was, you know, taught in college. And, then I think on like chapter 34, I read a comment. It's like, man, this is really mechanical. Like, you got to do something, put an apostrophe in it or something. So, I was like, you know, I could do that. My word count's going to suffer. But, I did. And then like, not only did it become easier, it was just more natural for me to write it that way.
Mm.
And then, you know, I had to go edit 34 chapters.
Yeah. I mean, well, could be worse. Could be 80. Could be 100.
And then best advice to give, especially for, you know, somebody new, you have to write. You know, like, I think I watched the Honor Ray podcast, and she kind of said the same thing. You know, you can't just, you can plan and outline, you know, until, I mean, you're never going to get perfection because, you know, art is subjective. So in this person's mind, it might be perfect, but it might be trash in this person's. So, you know, you got to put it out there. You got to write it down, put it out there and get the criticism. You know, you're only going to grow by getting the criticism.
I have this one friend who keeps outlining and drafting and thinking about a story until it's all mush.
Yeah, me too.
What?
I got that friend too.
Maybe it's the same friend. And probably not. This is a very human experience, I think.
I see it.
So, I mean,
really awesome.
I was kind of like that too. And for me, Rural Road, like, literally started as, I will just put this thing out there and I don't care if anyone reads it. Yeah, if I get like 5 followers, I'm good.
Just got to make yourself do it.
Yeah.
And
to me, it was more of an exercise in like starting to write consistently.
Yeah. That's what I was just talking to someone and about that. And like, I feel like once you get like 20,000 words in, 25,000 words in, you like your mind, it, like a flip switches in your mind. You're like, oh, I can actually write something long.
You know?
Like I can continue doing this. You know.
And there are so many different reasons why you wouldn't. This one person that I mean, they often say like, I'm not feeling the story. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. And in the end, it's all doubt, right?
Yeah.
It's all like, oh, this doesn't quite work here yet. Or that doesn't quite work there yet. This guy has like an amazing ability to write. It's awesome. But I think he overplots, and I don't think he's as much of a plotter as he thinks he is. I think sometimes he just has to roll with the punches because that's where the fun is. But I can't control anyone else, and I wish him all the best, and I want all the best for him, which is why I'm mentioning all this stuff. But
yeah, same.
Yeah,
man, I've listened to like outlines, you know, like story plot points and stuff, and I'm just like, I gotta read this, you know, like this is right up my alley. This, you know, this sounds amazing. Hurry up and write it.
Hurry up and write. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you're like almost as much as a pantser as I am, or I'm as almost as much as a pantser as you are, I should say. So I think we have like the same experience there. I think many serial writers are pantsers. I don't think you can plot a serial to that extent.
Yeah, I kind of set it up as like a RPG that I'm playing. Like, nice. You know, I have main, let's call them quests. Mm-hmm. And then like I've thought of a few side quests. Mm-hmm. And then I pants in between each one.
Ah, okay.
From, you know, okay. Quest A to quest B to side quest A.
Whenever I do that, these side quests become so large. The entire first book, 180,000 words, was just supposed to be 5 chapters.
Yeah. Yeah, my dungeon arc was supposed to be 1 book.
Yeah. Shout outs to Final Boss Best Friends, Rachasud. There's too much going on. Let's have the characters go into a dungeon for a quick rest 2 books later.
Yeah. I try to do too many things at once. Okay. And then everything got its own like 30,000-40,000 words.
Okay, actually that brings me to the next question then. So what's something that you have learned that you would do differently now if you started again?
I would plan before I did it, but then at the same time, if I planned before I did it, would have I ever done it?
Yeah.
But so, like, I would have actually launched on Roll Road instead of whim chapter here, whim chapter there.
I think you're doing just fine, but okay.
Well, yeah, but I mean, back then, you know, a good launch, there wasn't a whole lot of competition back then. So there was a lot of competition, but nothing like compared to today. So like back then, a well thought out launch could have really, you know, boosted early instead of trying to claw my way to trending for weeks. Hey, I hit the number 2 spot. I hit the number 2 spot like 2 weeks after, maybe a week or two after Zogarth launched Primal Hunter. I hit number 2. And then right as I was reaching for that number 1 spot, Zogarth hit number 1.
No.
And then yeah. I passed the guy that was previously number 1 and got number 2 again. And I never got number 1.
Yeah, I know that feel. You know, back when I launched my book, like, okay, relaunched my book, I think Wolfshine, Raven's Dagger, and I think one other big person. Oh, yeah, and they launched 3 novels, new ones, and then another guy relaunched 4 or 5 of his novels, like, also at the same time. And I was like, I'm cool with spot 7. This is nice. Okay. I mean, I'm well aware that it's very off, like, not very off meta, but it doesn't seem to be on meta, so I'm okay with what I've got.
Yeah, it's also, you know, a heck of people to be, you know, going, I don't want to say up against, but, you know.
Oh, I definitely stand on the shoulders of giants, and I also am getting squished under the feet of giants, so it's fine, I guess. Well, it's a new ad. If you are interested in having your story shouted out on this podcast, please reach out to me under critrpg.podcast@gmail.com. For now, I just finished the first book in my own series, Torchbearer. If you like a slow burn story about weak to OP main characters, mixing magic and technology, and numbers going up, you might also enjoy this one. You can find the link to my link tree down below. And that's all for now. Thank you very much for listening and or watching, and let's get on with the show.
I'm a big sports fan, so, you know, it's like I'm looking back at my draft class, you know, which was like Primal Hunter and Silver Seeker, System Universe, you know, all of these. And I was like, damn, that was a pretty good group to be in, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure. I mean, all I can say is Merton Crab, which is amazing. You know, Heretical Fishing like took off really hard. Merchant Crab, and of course, Box Dungeon Isekai. That is like going through the roof too. So yeah, but I mean, I think like these days it kind of all blends together, because I know that back then, like, so many people started writing and then it stopped again. And like putting things out consistently, as you said, is the key to everything, or was the key to everything. Whereas today, it's very different. If you're launching a story today, you gotta have some, like, you gotta have the quality that you guys have after 5 years of writing. Like, not five, but like, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if you actually have. I mean, I don't really consider my quality all that great, but you gotta play the game.
Yeah.
Now, you know, back then, like I said, I posted everything on a whim, and I rode my consistency. Mm. You know, I've posted a chapter every Tuesday and Thursday for 3.5 years. I've never missed once. Yeah. Okay, I missed the Thursday once because my power was out and I wasn't able to get a chapter up to like 2 a.m. So technically that was Friday.
No! Bonus chapter on Friday! Yeah, no, I get it. I also think I only missed once on Torchbearer, but now that the first book is finished, I'm okay. And I was like, I would much rather take the time to do a proper rewrite, and then, you know, start working on the next book than I would to continue pressuring myself get the story out and doing the new book and then doing the old book at the same time. It would just be a mess. So I took a break. I folded.
I couldn't even imagine working on the same story two different ways.
I remember it also has three different timelines that converge and diverge. Oh,
so that's math.
Yeah, it's six different points in time you have to consider.
So that's 12 times 2. So there's like 24 different things.
Yeah. No. I can recommend it because it's mad fun. But I mean, otherwise I wouldn't write it, but it's also very stressful. So definitely you need to have your notes ready and write.
Do you work on like something on the side, just like a side project,
sometimes,
to clear your mind?
Yeah, sometimes. I haven't for a while now because I found out it doesn't work for me. I can do either or. I get very single-minded. But I wrote this like cute little story about monsters starting a metal band in hell.
Yeah, I'll tap out after like 3 chapters of System Change, and I'm just brain dead. So I'll just go pull up a random project that's probably never going to get posted anywhere, write down 2,000 words, and then I can go back to System Change.
Nice. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, yay.
Why don't you think they're going to get posted?
Because a couple of them just aren't. I mean, maybe under a different pen name, in like a thriller section on Amazon. But, you know, it's super hard to break into that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I think standard fantasy, thriller, and I also think anything that's not military sci-fi, you have to go through trad publishing, because otherwise you're just too small to be seen.
let's just say I watched the ending of the second time that Dexter aired. Uh-huh. It's a revamp. Mm-hmm. And I was so mad at the ending that I went and started my own.
Oh, man. I stopped watching Dexter the first time it showed up. Because it got a bit too like dark for me. I'm a bit of a wuss. Like stories that are sad or grim, like take a lot out of me. So it made a Dungeon Crawler Carl challenge, but it's fun.
Yeah, I just kind of watch everything now.
Yeah. Now, but you can.
Yeah. I mean, like early 2000s, I didn't watch a lot of stuff, and I hate to say it, I have such a hard time watching sci-fi.
Okay.
Yeah, it's rough. Everybody loves Stargate and all that stuff, and I try. I'm just like, I just don't feel it.
Okay. So you can't watch anything with Star in the title. Yeah. Star Wars, Star Trek, Stargate.
No, I do like the original six or three Star Wars, and I didn't hate the episode 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. I mean, science fantasy is a very good genre to read and or write. I think sometimes people, because the System Apocalypse is nothing but science fantasy, if you're thinking about it. It's a very different like take on it than Star Wars, obviously. But if you're really thinking about it, Star Wars is literally knights in space.
Yeah. And I mean, it's called Jedi Knights.
Exactly. And you got your queens. And it's a very, like, Star Wars, the first six are Arthurian mythos. Let's just say it like this.
Yeah.
Right. You got the savior, you got the wizard in Ben Kenobi, and so on and so forth. It's literally one of the, well, hero's journeys is quite obvious because it is so much based on Arthurian sagas. It's quite fun.
You got amazing plot points, like, and somehow Palpatine returned.
Oh, that's the next one, right? That's the.
I don't remember one it was at.
The first six are, I mean, so episodes starting 4, 5, 6.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3 are 1, 2, 3 are the so 1, 2, 3 are the one with Jar Jar Binks, and then 4, 5, 6 are the ones where it's like mostly centered around Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, and then the last ones are Rilo Ken and I haven't watched them, so I only the first one. I was like, okay, this is just basically the fourth one again. So why would I watch this again?
Yeah. I watched the 7 and 8. I haven't watched 9. There is a 9, right?
Yeah, there is a 9.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so the first six are Arthurian. Anyway, cool. All right.
Tangent.
But we love tangents here. No. I do feel, as long as we're talking about stories and emotions and agile coaching, we are very much on brand for this podcast. So don't worry about it too much. Okay. But now that we talked about how your book came to be, what you would go back to and change if you could, and also the best advice you've ever gotten as a writer, how about we talk about one book that you love and why it is awesome?
Well, that would be The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. And I loved like the heart-wrenching stuff in it. Like, spoilers, his time when they steal his loot from him.
Yeah.
In the city, and or the old man that takes care of the sick kids.
Oh yeah,
all that like him setting in the forest after everything happens, and just playing his lute until his fingers bled.
Yeah,
all of that just gets me. Like the actual, like the action and stuff. You know, it's good, but just the way the heartbreaking stuff is written, I just love that. Yeah, that's like I'm a bit of a masochist whenever I'm reading something like that, you know, like, oh, I got tears rolling down my eyes, but or down my cheeks, but I can't stop reading. Surely it's going to get better, right?
Have you read Harrow the Ninth?
No.
Oh, you would love that. You should put it up on your list. Yeah, I really do think you would love that.
I have to check
also,
it out.
Also, all of the Max Gladstone, like, okay, so Max Gladstone novels are more if you're really into the prose that Patrick Rothfuss does. I think Max Gladstone's prose is a little bit not quite as good, but his plots are better. So very much, I would say, both of them.
He's probably got three books too, right?
Max Gladstone?
It was a jab at the third book of...
I mean, there's four books now. What are you talking about? Two of them are novellas, but whatever.
Yeah, I love Ari as much as the next person.
Yeah. I couldn't get into The Slow Regard of Silent Things. It for me, it was wonderful and beautiful and like a picture, but I kept waiting for things to happen. And that's my personal problem.
Worst thing about it for me was Patrick Rothfuss narrated it instead of Nick Podell.
I didn't listen to it. I read it. Because for me, the Rothfuss books are better read. Because I get hung up on certain words or phrases, and I just kind of look at them and go like, oh man, this is cool. This is really cool. And I can't do that in an audio format. Even though I do listen to basically everything else in audio books.
Yeah, and you know, I started with I read, I think, the Robin Hobb books, and I think Nick Podell's when he narrated The Name of the Wind was like one of the first, like one of my first ventures into audio. And cool. It's also probably like a bias on why he's probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite narrator.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Michael Kramer and Kate Redding, I think. So
yeah, Kate Redding and
Michael.
No, I'm trying to think of the series, Codex Alara.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's great in that.
That's
one of the only things I have listened to with her narrating.
You've read the Stormlight Archives, right?
No. I haven't. I'm really far behind.
You might, like, they are right over here. See here, there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have
see how huge
all.
They are?
I got every one of them on audio. I just... I also have 600 audio titles.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, and I've listened to like 150 of them.
Put it like, to be honest, have you listened to any other of Brandon Sanderson's books?
Oh yeah, oh my god, what's it called?
Mistborn?
Yes. Yeah, Mistborn.
Then you will enjoy these very much. You should really put it up like on top of your list because they're long, yes, but he does this wonderful, wonderful thing that I think any of us fantasy authors can only aspire to, in that he has amazing people in his books. They're not characters, they're people. And he deals with psychological trauma. And he deals with mental health in a way that's not beating you over the head with it, even though it really easily could be. It's really good. Like, really, 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 really good. Yeah. So that's a lot of book recommendations right there. There's a quiz next week.
Oh, I don't think there's enough hours to go through all of those in audio. That's true. To listen at 3.5 times speed.
Everything sounds like a record scratch. Like, yeah, I got that.
Watch most of my Netflix stuff on 1.5.
I can't. It's so jarring to me.
It takes me probably half an episode of something for my brain to get used to it. And then if I go back to 1x, it's just, now this is stuff that I've already watched before. Uh-huh. Like I don't like if it's new, I'm watching it regularly, but if it's just like, I'm rewatching Daredevil because the new Daredevil's coming out sometime this year, I think.
Nice.
So I'm on season 3 of that now, but watching at 1.5 times speed.
Are you into anime?
Oh yeah.
I'm not.
Oh.
I am one of the few authors on Royal Road who's not into anime. I love One Piece. I loved Sailor Moon as a kid. Don't judge me. And of course Digimon, and more than Pokemon really. And of course Captain Future. No one knows that. It's a really fucking good series, sorry.
I've heard of it.
But I don't know, like there's something about modern anime that overdraws the emotions that I feel like I'm being manipulated. And right. A lot like that.
I'm a lot less into it than I used to be. I did spend one summer watching every episode in Naruto.
Yeah.
But like I watch maybe 2 anime per season now, when I used to like watch everything that came out. I'm watching like Solo Leveling now.
I was about to ask, because people told me it's good and I haven't gotten around to it yet, so I think I'll wait until it's all done and then get a Crunchyroll trial version and immediately cancel after.
Have you read Solo Leveling or the comic?
No. I might do the comic if there's like a legal version for me to get, because the only thing I could find translated were, well, bad fan translations, and I'm not about that.
I didn't finish the comic, but I have. Oh, if you want to talk about audio, man, the Solo Leveling audiobooks. Great narrator, except he narrates every like squeak that a door makes. Like he's like squeak.
Oh no!
And it just,
oh, yes. Oh no!
It just takes you right out of everything.
Oh.
It's like, that's unfortunate. I want all of these Solo Leveling novels, but then the narrator, his narrating the squeaks and the grunts and the, yeah. Say the door squeak, or just don't.
Or just don't, yeah. Or just don't read at all.
just continue with the scene. We won't be super disappointed that you're not going squeak.
I mean, it's a cool thing, and it's a nice try. But I mean, maybe don't try that on.
I read the reviews. I think he lessens a lot in the later audiobooks. I've only listened to the first one.
Or only people who don't mind it continue listening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've already read all of the light novels, so.
Yeah. I might need to do that at some point, because it's such a staple.
I just like experience and something I enjoyed in a different way. Which is why, you know, I'm digging the anime. Well, I'm digging episode 3 and 4. The first 2 episodes, pretty slow.
Have you perchance had a chance to listen to Dead Tired?
Not yet. I own it.
Sound Booth Theater are amazing.
Oh yeah.
They knock it out of the park. There's music that fits the, like, only in some chapters, not in all of them, There's, for example, the very first one. The music fits the tone of the narration. So when something like really bombastic happens, suddenly there's like an organ in the background. You're like, it's good. It's really good. And Jeff Hayes has so much fun with it. Every time he does a spell, there's a reverb in the background. You know, he goes like, drain life. And there's like, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, Soundbooth is really good at balancing it. Like, unlike a lot of like
enhanced.
Yes,
we're both authors. Enhanced.
Unlike other, you know, enhanced audios that I've listened to, Soundbooth really like they don't overdo it. You know, a lot of those other ones, it's just like trumpets playing every other like paragraph or every other sentence.
Have you do you know this Day 9 skit where he talks about trumpets? Whenever someone mentions trumpets, this comes to my mind, but doesn't matter right now. People can Google it. All right, I think with that we can get to the shoutouts.
Ooh, shoutouts.
Well, who do you want to shout out?
First, I gotta shout out Honore for all the skills.
Yep,
I mean, fantastic. I haven't read the second one, but I've read the second. All the skills. Move into a different shout out here. I really enjoyed A Summoner Awakens last year when it came out, especially, you know, Jeff Hayes. Yeah, Jeff Hayes did that too. I really enjoyed that, but I haven't, you know, second one doesn't have Audible yet, but shout that out. It's really good. I gotta shout Think Twice out. You know, Twice.
What's that?
Think Twice. He Mark of the Krijic, and he writes amazing guides on Reddit. If you ever want to. They might have pinned them. I don't know, but he's got some good, like, you know, what to expect when you're signing with a publisher, you know, how to launch on Roll Road. Great guides.
Oh, those, yeah. Where he writes like a friggin' novel about which publishers are where and then how to contact them and what they are like.
Yeah, like four parts, you know,
amazing. I'll try and link them in the comments if I don't forget.
I don't know. Jackal Among Snakes was really good. Just read and finished that. That's kind of it for my current like reading. Yeah.
Oh no! You only had three shoutouts. That's fine. Like it's
Shout out to Zogarth. He hit Amazon charts. On his last release. Hell yeah.
Twice with two books. Did you see that?
I just saw when he hit it with the audio, I think.
I saw it when he had when he was number one with Prime 108 and number five with Prime 107. So that was really fun.
Oh, but was that charts or top 10? But like you know the ranking and the charts are different, right?
I don't know that, or didn't.
Oh, yeah. So Amazon's rankings is just like your overall rank at that time, and it updates every couple hours or something like that. Charts actually takes an entire week's worth of sales, it was the top sellers, top 10, top 20 sellers in an entire week.
It was that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think he's only. There's only like a handful of lit RPG authors that's ever hit that. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we all know who they are.
Zogarth, Defier did it.
Brian Norton did it. I think. I think.
Sure. No. And I don't know if Will White did it, but you got to imagine that he did it with Cradle.
Yeah, like the last one, pretty much. I haven't read Cradle yet. I still need to listen to that because I will listen to it.
Well, as everyone knows, it's the best lit RPG.
Yes. But have you heard about Cradle yet?
Have you heard about Cradle?
Yeah. Also, isn't Cradle a cultivation book?
It is. But if anybody asks on Reddit or anywhere, there's like, what's your favorite lit RPG? Cradle. Yeah.
I'm looking for a female MC, sci-fi thriller.
Cyberpunk.
Cradle?
No.
Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk, yeah.
Cradle. Have you read it? Cradle. Does it have everything you asked for, but
I'm looking for my keys, yes, but have you read Cradle?
Yeah.
You know, the Constitution of the United States is pretty good, but have you read Cradle?
John Hancock would have loved Cradle.
like sneak do like a Nicolas Cage, like sneak into the steal the Declaration of Independence and replace it with a copy of Cradle.
Way down.
All right. Okay. Well,
sounds like something Deadpool would do.
Well, Deadpool would read Cradle. Yes, I'm quite sure he would.
And he would also replace the Declaration of Independence with it.
Like, okay, this, I feel like this is something we should do here. This feels nice. Watch, like, maybe that's the last plot, like last floor of Dungeon Crawler Carl.
or it's the
reading
plot
Cradle.
It's the plot of Deadpool 3.
Maybe. Man, that's really good. I haven't watched Deadpool 2 yet, and I heard rumors about Deadpool 3, and I'm like, yeah, man, god damn it.
Yeah, I wish I wouldn't have heard rumors. I
only heard a few, so
everything
I'm like,
gets
okay.
Spoiled these days.
Yeah, I put my hands on my ears immediately. I was like, cool.
I'm on a computer almost all day. It's so hard to avoid things.
All right, and in the second half of the podcast people can find on Patreon, by the way, we are going to talk about your writing schedule. Are we going to talk about stuff like that and maybe some other stuff you've read and or listened to, and where the genre is going in your opinion, because it's always very interesting to me to hear that from people. All right.
Nice.
Any last words before that?
Have you heard about Cradle?
Oh, Cradle. That's very good. Maybe we should do a thread like, I'm looking for a book that's Cradle. Yeah. And then we're like, yes, have you read Cradle?
I haven't read that yet. I have to look.
I think you can probably come up with that post. Okay. Well, with that being said, and on that note, thank you everyone for watching and or listening. Please like, subscribe, follow, click the bell. Save the
Comment
Declaration
below.
Of Independence, read Cradle, if you aren't on Patreon. Please consider subscribing to my Patreon. There's at least an hour of podcasts for each hour you can find on YouTube. Oh, also, everything's ad-free, which is really nice. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.